just for a few minutes, I want to look at, into the book of Revelation. There's a common thread all through Revelation here that I've noticed many times. And in the whole Word of God, there is a key to being able to have victory when we get to the end of the race. Amen. I'm going to read some words written to the church at Laodicea, Revelation, the third chapter, verse 14. Amen. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Amen. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and am increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that they mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You may be seated. Amen. I've heard a lot of teaching concerning the churches here mentioned in Revelation. Now, these were real churches that did exist in a particular time. There is a mindset that teaches that this was a, prophetically speaking, of time periods where God dealt with his church in different ways. And I don't believe that teaching, but I don't believe that those who teach that are necessarily lost because they don't understand. They just don't understand some things, in my opinion. But this was written to those churches so that we could read the mail that went to those churches and realize there are things that we need to make sure that we understand in the Word of God, because what he wrote to those churches, we need to consider these words very carefully, because those churches were part of the church. And so is this one. Amen. And the time that the Laodiceans lived in, and this church at Laodicea, according to the Word of God, that time and the time that we live in is the same church age. Amen. What it took for them to be saved is what it takes for us to be saved. What it took for them to make it is what it takes for us. So whatever instructions came from God through the apostles, and by the way, the Word of God, the New Testament, you have to take the words by faith of the apostles in order to know that you're hearing from God, because everything that's recorded in the New Testament is written by the apostles. Amen. And they wrote it, but it was as inspired by God himself through the Holy Ghost. And therefore, you can say the author of the book is Jesus Christ. Amen. And the same way in the Old Testament writers wrote as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. But God never sat down and wrote any part of the Bible himself, as far as taking pen in hand. But he always uses people to accomplish his word. Amen. And so, Revelation written by John. John, who was a very close friend of Jesus Christ, who lived in the day and walked with Jesus before his crucifixion. He was one of those that went away for a short time not knowing what to do in the aftermath of the cruel crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And he was one of those that witnessed the ascension of Jesus. And he was also one that was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was poured out. He was one that had his understanding open. He was also persecuted along with others. After Jesus went away and after he had been filled with the Holy Ghost. And by the time he wrote the book of Revelation, John had been through a lot of things. He had been persecuted and his life had been threatened and he had been in trouble just for being a Christian. Just for being a Christian, just for teaching that Jesus is alive after he had been crucified. And here in the book of Revelation, he is delivering a letter to the church. And you can read what's written to the church at Sardis, the church at Philadelphia, the other churches, and you can get an idea of what God expects of the church, of your local church assembly. And for some reason I feel led to talk about this Laodicean church. And I've heard it taught many times, in history. Probably does bear it out that this was a very rich church that had a lot of things, and they were very happy about what they had and how much they had accumulated and how they were able to enjoy what they had. But as I read this again, I think it's more about attitude than it is about what you possess. Amen. Because the writer here, writing the words of Jesus that came to him, amen, says, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Now, you don't have to have a whole lot of things to have that attitude. Amen. You can just feel like everything's all right when it's not. We can feel like everything's just going fine, even if we don't have a lot. And it's easy to get into that mindset where, hey, I'm okay, you're okay, everything's okay, let's just go on. But God wants more out of us than that. He's saying in the Word of God to this church and to every church that it's best for us not to get into that frame of mind where we feel like we have need of nothing, that everything is okay. And God says, through Jesus Christ, through the apostle to us, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire. And what is that? Well, it's something beyond just gold. Gold tried in the fire is something that's used to let us know what God requires. That's how you purify gold. Amen. It's melted down, it's filtered, and it's made pure by stress and strain. And he ends up many of these letters and all through the Word of God with the word overcome or overcometh or endureth. And so the key for understanding here is learning how to be able to overcome all things. Amen. Amen. If you have the mindset, I'm okay, everything's all right, when really you don't have it together yet, you can still overcome. And that's what God wants. He's wanting your life to be something tried in the fire and ending up pure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trying in the fire could be the trial of your faith. It could be that you have so many things going on in your life, you don't see how in the world you're going to make it with victory. Amen. That can be a real trial. As you just look around and see the circumstances and you realize there's so much going on and I'm in a mess and I don't know how I'm going to make it. Amen. You ever had those thoughts? You ever been through a time in your life where it just felt like there's nothing going to end up right? Because of the way things are. Amen. Then you look back and you made it through those moments somehow. You didn't make it through those moments by taking a gun and blowing your brains out. You didn't make it through those moments by jumping off of a bridge somewhere into a raging river. You didn't make it through those moments by simply just giving up and quitting. Praise God. Hallelujah. From where you've been to where you are now, if you're able to sit here or be wherever you're listening and feel like I do have the victory in my life right now, means that you have overcome some things. And whatever it took for you to get here is what it's still going to take to get to wherever you're going to be tomorrow. Amen. Amen. The key is always overcoming. Overcoming. The overcoming victory. Even our faith. We've got to have the ability to make up our minds. No matter what it is I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I've been through, no matter what kind of accusation the devil throws my way, I have to overcome. And we see through Revelation as we read these words that Jesus inspired, that we do overcome through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In order to be an overcomer, you got to be able to get under the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I counsel thee to buy me. By, he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Try it in the fire. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Isaiah that says, ho, come, all of you that are thirsty, come and buy without money. Amen. Jesus is just reminding the church, hey, you don't have what it takes. You don't know what to do. You don't know which way to go because of the way things are. Turn back to Jesus. And everything we need is still right there. Hallelujah. Your gold tried in the fire is under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Your ability to overcome is through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Being able to say, you know, I was a sinner, but now I'm set free. You know, I had problems, but Jesus worked it out. You know, I was going through a storm, but He is the calm. He is the peacemaker. He is the answer to every situation in life. Amen. Through the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, we are able to overcome all things. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. All we have to do is ask. Ask and you shall receive. Amen. That's worth more than $1 million. $1 million would not be able to buy this gold tried in the fire, but asking can buy it. Hallelujah. No amount of riches, no amount of possessions, no amount of money will deserve gold tried in the fire. But asking of Jesus to help you will get it done. Hallelujah. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. You think you got everything? There's a whole lot for you if you can only realize that God has everything that you need. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. He's just saying, hey, it's not what you think you possess, not what you think that you have that is so important. It's what God wants to put on you that God will recognize as everything that you need. That you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. Anoint thy eyes with eye salve. That's simply saying, open your eyes, you know, be able to see the things of the Spirit. Amen. Be able to look beyond what your natural eyes see. There is a level in serving God that we all need to reach for, and it's above the natural senses. It's not depending in any way on what we see, what we hear, how we think, how we feel. Praise God. Once we get to the level of understanding that God wants us to get to, when He says, get understanding, get wisdom, and all that getting, get understanding. There are reasons why it's in the Word of God, all through the Word of God, that we should seek after understanding. The disciples walked with Jesus for a few years, and then He opened their understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's an understanding level that gets you into a place where the things we don't understand don't matter. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's where we need to reach into. That's what we need to be able to get the church we want, the multitude we want, the help we need, the things that we find necessary to be able to launch forward and do the things that God would call us to do. We don't have what it takes except through Jesus Christ. There is nothing we possess, nothing that we know, no experience behind us. There is nothing that has ever happened or is happening or things that we have, things present, nothing that we know about, nothing we feel, see, or hear, or smell that's going to get this job done. But it's a matter of having the mind that was in Christ, the understanding that's available. And to get to that is simply a matter of look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Jesus had opportunity to give up and sit down if He wanted to. He had plenty of opportunity to say, hey, I've had it. This is hurting. But there was something beyond pain, something beyond feeling going on at that cross. There was an understanding of who He was, and where He had come from, and where He was going. There was a purpose involved. And there was a victory that yet needed to be accomplished. And the only way to get there would be by overcoming. Hallelujah. By staying with it. No matter how much it hurts. No matter how it looks. No matter how it feels. No matter how they act. No matter what they do. There's accomplishment going on here. There is purpose involved here. There is a reason that I must endure the cross going on here. And Jesus says, if you want to be victorious, if you want to have a good life, if you want to really know what it's all about, take up your cross and follow Me. Deny yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Deny yourself. That's asking a lot. Denying ourselves is how I feel. Hey, sometimes I don't feel like praying. I have to deny that feeling. Sometimes I don't feel like making progress, but I've got to deny that. God is doing a work, and I want to be with Jesus. I'm on His side. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have to tell our mind how to think and our bodies how to feel. Amen. And what to do no matter how we feel. Sometimes we just have to take charge as a child of God over the carnal flesh that we are. Sometimes we just need to understand that I am a child of God. I'm not just me. I've been bought with a price. I have been changed. Amen. I have been made into something that God knows more about than I know. While I yet have these struggles with the flesh and these problems with carnality and these things that happen in my life that grab my attention and distract me, I need to remind myself once in a while that I am an overcomer through Jesus Christ. Not through anything I have ever done. Not through anything that I may know or think that I have. Hallelujah. I'm an overcomer through Jesus Christ. And I can ask of Jesus and find what I really do need when I feel like I wake up in the morning thinking I don't need anything. There haven't been many mornings like that. Praise God. But it's easy to get that feeling, hey, I've got it all together. I'm a Christian. I know Acts 2:38. And we focus on Acts 2:38 a lot, and it's necessary. We need to be baptized in Jesus' name. We need to have that repentance in our life, and we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. But there's a whole lot more Word of God here for us to also pay attention to. And if we get baptized in Jesus' name and shout and run, praise God for years, and we don't do the other things, it's just a whole lot of noise. And we put forth a lot of effort and thought we were saved, we're going to end up in trouble. Amen. God wants more than obedience to Acts 2:38. Praise God. Of course, if you truly obey Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That means what happened at the waters of baptism was only a symbol. It was only an illustration of what really happened. Amen. You went down in the water, it came out in Jesus' name. But right now, no matter when that happened, no matter how many years ago that was, we're commanded to right now be baptized in the name of Jesus. That don't mean you have to run, jump in the water every day. That means we need to take that baptism and realize who we are, and I'm still baptized. I'm baptized in Jesus' name now. Praise God. When I went into that water, it was a token, it was a sign, it was a symbol, it was an obedient act of God. But the blood of Jesus is still washing away. And the name of Jesus is still claiming authority in my life. And the power of the blood and the power of the name is something that I am in right now. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There are too many people today saying, I received the Holy Ghost 25 years ago. You need to receive the Holy Ghost now. 25 years ago was 25 years ago. What's happening today in our lives? I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost today. The Holy Ghost is not just a moment of speaking in tongues. Tongues is a sign that the Holy Ghost has come. But the Holy Ghost is the power of God, the Spirit of God, the moving of God in our lives. And it needs to be fresh every moment as we continue to be baptized in Jesus' name. As we continue to live a sanctified, holy life. I need to receive the Holy Ghost today. I'm more impressed when somebody says, I've been blessed with the Holy Spirit of God today, and I feel good right now because God's doing a work in my life. That means more. That means much more than a testimony. I've been serving God for 40 years. That's how the last can come first. What's happening now is what's important. What happened 40 years may have been water under the bridge, and we may just think everything's all right. Just because somebody's been serving God a long time doesn't mean they have seniority over the newcomer. One child coming to God right now, being filled with the Holy Ghost, consecrated to God. It doesn't matter how much they've studied, haven't studied. It's a matter of submitting to God and rising into His level of understanding and letting Him be God and letting Him be Lord. Amen. You have what it takes to be first in line, no matter who you are and no matter how long you've been in church. Right now, you can become what God wants you to be. At the front of the line. These old church people, I'm not criticizing them. I praise God. I respect everybody that's been around for a long time, been faithful. But you don't earn anything in the church by having a history of faithfulness. The only way you get anything from God is to be faithful now. Now is the accepted time. Thank you, Jesus. So you say, I'm rich. I have $100 in my pocket. Don't have a need of anything. Got food in the refrigerator, clothes on my back. People like me. I got everything going my way. New car, or at least a good used one. Amen. And God says, you don't know, but you're wretched and you're miserable and you're poor and you're blind and you're naked. And I am saying to you that you need to buy of me what it takes for you to overcome. Gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, that you really may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clean, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. Amen. Nakedness. Now, those people weren't going to church naked. They had clothes on. But God saw them, because He can see through anything. And He saw not nakedness in the flesh, although the flesh is involved, but what He saw was open before God, everything that's wrong. Nothing is hidden before God. You can't cover up anything, no matter what you wear, no matter how you pretend, no matter how you look, no matter how Christian-like you think you are, no matter how people think that you're just all right, you can't cover it up. Everything that's hidden, God sees it just like it never was hidden. When He said, Adam, where are you? He knew where he was. It was Adam that didn't know where he was. Amen. So why did He put all this in the Word of God? Well, He says it right here, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. See, when you feel like the wrath of God is against you, it's easy then to feel like, oh, I can't make it. Everything's going wrong. I'm doing so many things wrong. I'm making so many mistakes. Yeah, we all do. But God doesn't want it to end up in us feeling defeated. And even God Himself seems to be our enemy sometimes. Because as the devil throws accusations at us, sometimes we're guilty of what he accuses us of. But it's never a time that we should run and hide and try to just say, well, I can't make it. We should never give up. Because Jesus is on your side. The reason He rebukes us is because He loves us. The reason He tells us the truth of what we need to do and exposes the mess we're in and what we need to do and how we need to change, and the reason He comes against us so strong and so straight and makes us feel like, oh, woe is me. The reason He does it is because He wants us to be saved. God never chastises in order to destroy us. God never uses a preacher to preach straight and hard at you to run you off. Hallelujah. God never uses a child of God to admonish you and tell you what you need to do to line up to cause you to give up and quit. It's all an effort to say, hey, wake up. God loves you and you don't have to live a defeated life. You don't have to end up in despair. You don't have to end up feeling like a failure. Hallelujah. Praise Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You don't have to. I learned years ago, no matter how much trouble I get into, even as a child, to still show up when it's time to eat. To still be in my bedroom when it's time to go to bed. To still get in the family car when the family's going somewhere. To be a part of what's going on, even if I'm in trouble. Even if I'm in a mess. Even if I have been scolded and chastised and made to feel like a worm. It's still my family. It's still our car. Still my mama. Still my breakfast. still my clothes that I'm wearing. And I'm still here. The only way to overcome is to keep being a part of it. God didn't hate the Laodicean church. He loved them. He just wanted them to realize, hey, you don't have it all together right now. You need help. Praise God. Just for them to show up in the Word of God means there was a lot going on there. That was a powerful church. Hallelujah. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So be zealous, therefore, and repent. In other words, he's saying, hey, look, you got some hard, strong lessons coming your way. But you need to be excited about that. And you need to be happy about that. And you need to realize it's for your good. And so do what it takes in order to hear God say, amen. In order to hear God saying, praise the living God through you. Hallelujah. In order to be able to lift up holy hands. Praise God. There are no holy hands you can lift up unless they are the hands of Jesus Christ. Praise God. But when you get it together just right and you buy of Him gold tried in the fire, when your hands go up, His hands go up. Praise God. And no matter where your hands have been, God sees through the blood, pureness, holy hands lifted up unto God. Hallelujah. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, everybody say overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Amen. And John wrote later in the book, amen, in different places in the book, I saw one that sat upon the throne. And here Jesus talked about sitting with His Father on the throne. Of course, when He was in the earth, in the flesh, He said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. Except you believe this, you'll die in your sins. Amen. And so John said, I saw, and lo, one set upon the throne. A lamb as it had been slain. Hallelujah. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Amen. So are you expecting someday to go to heaven and everybody gang together on one throne and sit up there with him? My, what a throne that will be. Here we go, you know. Thousands, multitude, numbers no man can number, all headed for the throne. Here we go. Jesus invited us to sit with Him on the throne. I could hear some people say, my, it's going to take eternity for all that to happen. Just look at all the people that lived and died in the faith. And we'll all be lining up in years and years and years. As we know it, will go by and finally you'll get your opportunity to sit with Him in His throne. Because the Bible says you're going to be able to sit with Him on His throne. You can sit with Him on His throne right now. In fact, we are sitting with Him on His throne. Thank you, Jesus. Ruling and reigning with Christ today. When I say that, I'm in the Word of God. But there is a pressure among the people of God to keep words like that from being said. Because around this world today, people are trying to get themselves in agreement through various little organized systems on what we need to agree to believe on together. And so somebody comes along and says, hey, you can sit in the throne, on the throne with Jesus and His Father right now. The carnal church can't receive that sometimes.
And so they come up with rules and plans to try to remove those who would say such a thing. But like Sister Vicki says over and over, you can't take my Jesus away. You can't take the truth away, no matter what kind of rules you legislate or make for yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can rule and reign with Christ right now. There are many people looking forward to the day that they're going to be able to go somewhere with Jesus and come back and be a ruler over others. There's that human nature likes to be boss. I get to rule. I get a position. I'm going to be the foreman. I'm going to be the landlord. I am going to be the superintendent. Oh, how it feels so good to be over somebody else. Some people live and covet that, live for that, and that's all they want in life, just to be known to be above others. If you want to sit on the throne with Jesus Christ and rule and reign with Him, simply become His child. And instantly, you have the authority of the name of Jesus. Everywhere you go, you've got the backing of the kingdom of God. You're an ambassador for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In your home, on your job, and everywhere you go, you are a representative of all the power that's in the kingdom of God. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is with you. You have a direct hotline of communication. Soon as you need help, amen. It's like having a secret camera that sees everything you see, that's observing everything you're observing. It's like being in an enemy territory as a spy. And you know what's going on, and they don't realize that you're taking pictures, that you have a recorder on, it's hearing everything that you're hearing. But it's even beyond all of that, because no matter how they strip you and how they search you, they can't find your Jesus. But He's there. Hallelujah. He's there, knowing all, seeing all, hearing all, experiencing it all with you. And all you need to do is rule and reign with Him. Know who you are. I'm a child of God. I'm an ambassador of God. I am a representative of the kingdom of God. Thus, I depend on my God to deliver me out of what I'm going through right now. Hallelujah. So how am I going to get out of the mess I'm in? Try asking Jesus to help you. To Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is that Holy Ghost that's in your life right now? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If Jesus is in you right now, then He's not just sitting off somewhere, some distant place, on a throne, keeping record of what's going on in your life. But His throne is right where you are. We are made to sit together with Him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. So John, and I'm concluding, John went on and he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, a strong, piercing voice, coming to an open door. And it was talking with me, and it said, "Come up hither. Come up, and I will show you things which must be hereafter." And so just reading that one verse, first verse of chapter 4, tells us a whole lot of things. What we just read in chapter 3 to the church at Laodicea was before the hereafter. sitting on the throne,
ruling with Him, being an overcomer, being able to be pure and tried like gold in the fire and be pleasing to God is all possible before what comes hereafter. You can get all this going, see, get all this victory in your life, and then there's an open door. There's a little higher place that you can go into, open to you. But first of all, overcome. First of all, know who you are and where you are, what you possess, and be able to go to Jesus to get everything you need. And then look, a door comes open, and He says, come up here. And there's a higher level of walking with God available for every one of us that will cause you to be able to help others better than you can help them possibly now. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. How many sat on the throne? Amen. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. I've seen pictures of this. You know, drawings. Artists have made it look so beautiful. The rainbow, the halo around the head of Jesus. But look, that's not how it is. That's just not. Jesus is not sitting somewhere with a little lamb on His shoulder. Amen. You're the little lamb. Praise God. And His place where He sits as one on the throne is right here where you are in your life. And you can sit on that throne with that one right now on this Sunday morning and be at peace with God and with yourself and with fellow man. There is an open door to kingdom authority. There is an open door to having everything available for you that's in heaven for you to enjoy forever right now. None of what I'm saying denies the second coming of Jesus. None of what I'm saying is denying that we're going to heaven someday. But what I am saying is we don't have to just go through life miserable and then being glad that someday God's going to fix it all. Christianity is not just a pie in the sky, someday you're going to be okay. This is a victorious living now situation. God wants to make you a ruler. God wants to make you a kingdom heir. Now, He wants you to be victorious right this minute. And you do it through surrender to Jesus and realize that the blood of the Lamb of God still washes me clean. Amen. The name of Jesus is still the authority in my life. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus showed the power of God that was in Jesus, by, as we could read some more verses, takes the book from Him that sits on the throne. Amen. With some understanding that's available through reading the Word of God and through prayer and letting God reveal Himself, you come to realize that this is not just a drama unfolding. It's not just a Hollywood production. But this is life for God and people. Amen. Through the ages have come together through Jesus Christ who hung on the cross. Amen. It was when Jesus bled and died
and then came out of the tomb, that he took the book from him that sits on the throne. Don't expect to get to some glorious golden streets paradise someday and stand in multitudes of people waiting to applaud as Jesus Christ starts moving forward toward the old man sitting on the throne to take a book out of his hand. That has already taken place. Hallelujah. When you read the Bible, you're experiencing the book. When you experience revelation in God, you're experiencing the book. Out of the power of God that sits on His throne. And you're made overcomers through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of His testimony. And you're invited to sit in His throne with Him today. When you sit there, there's still one on the throne. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Hallelujah. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, four elders, 24 elders, they all fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and have made us and to our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. There are many people today that read this and they only see it gonna happen someday. And when I say it's happening now, many of them judge me and want to kick me out of whatever I'm part of. But if you can't rule and reign with Him today, forget about someday. Let's praise Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Ruling and reigning with Him is not being a boss over somebody else. It's taking authority over your own life, your own carnality, your own mind, your own temporal existence, and saying, I don't have everything I have, and I'm telling myself, I need Jesus. I don't have everything I have. I don't know all there is to know. I'm not everything I need to be, but I can reclaim my baptism in Jesus' name. I can be refilled with the Holy Ghost. I can go through that open door, and I can be an overcomer because the blood of Lamb has set me free. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We sing a new song. That doesn't mean that we have to go to the store and try to find songs that are just freshly written. Today, as we were singing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That was a new song. That was a new song. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. A new song. Praise God. Let's thank Him one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Brother Joe. Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. That's what you call priceless preaching. Praise God. We thank the Lord for His understanding. And of course, I will always, as long as I live, to encourage you to embrace the things that you have heard. And don't ever let them go. And if at any time the understanding of God quarrels with your tradition, let your tradition go. Because there's a whole lot more with God's understanding than there is with our tradition. Amen. I need no philosophy of my own. Amen. Because that will be nothing more than leaven to me. Amen. But I need the Lord. And I need His truth. Because His truth sets us free. And I want to be free and swim free every time I open the page of the Word of the Lord. And I don't have to tell the Lord what I want to believe. Amen. But I get to open up and see the book of life and what He believes and what He is and what we can become. Amen. Let's thank Him one more time today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, my Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord, out of the mouth of babes. Thank You, Jesus. Your children, hallelujah. Blessed is Your name. Thank You today. Thank You today. Praise God.